Psalm 37 as we continue. Psalm 37, Lesson 3. There's a total of 7 lessons in this series, so almost halfway through here. And it's about blessings to appreciate. We have a lot of blessings to appreciate from the Lord. And Psalm 37 is going to remind us of some of these blessings, 2 in particular that we'll talk about today. But the introduction, you have so much to be thankful for. You see, thankfulness, something that the Bible speaks about quite a bit, being thankful.
Amen.
Because it's important. It's something God wants from us. God wants His people to be thankful.
Amen.
And Thanksgiving is a great time of year, but that's not the only time that we should be thankful. November is not the only month that we should be thankful. Okay, we should be thankful 12 months of the year. And as a believer, we have a lot to be thankful for, because our blessings go beyond the physical blessings, the material blessings. Our blessings apply to spiritual things. And the rest of the introduction, God has given you His promise. God has promised us a lot of things in the Bible. And the Bible says God cannot lie.
Amen.
So if God makes a promise, He's going to keep it.
Amen.
He cannot break His promises like people break promises. God has promised us 2 things that we'll talk about this morning, provision and protection. And those are 2 things to be thankful for. God's provision, God's protection.
Amen.
He's promised to give us those things. He said, I'll give you what you need, I'll provide for you, and He also said, I will protect you, I will keep you in my care, I will watch over you. So number one, the promise of provision. The promise of provision. Mentioned up there in the introduction. And that's in verse 18. Look at Psalm 37:18. This is a great verse. You find yourself going through difficulties. You find yourself facing hard times. Psalm 37:18 is a great verse. It says, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. And that's letter A. We can take great comfort in knowing that God knows all about us and what we are going through. Great comfort. When you think nobody else knows what you're going through, God knows what you're going through. That's what matters anyway. Because it doesn't matter whether other people know what you're going through. Sure, other people might be able to offer you a little bit of sympathy. Sometimes we look for that. Other people might be able to say, oh, I'm sorry. Other people might be able to say, well, I'll pray for you. But who better than God to know about what you're going through? Because He's the one that can really help you, right?
Right.
People can offer their form of help, and that's great. And we appreciate when people come alongside of us and encourage us. But who better than God? And He knows about our problems. He knows all about us, and He knows what we're going through. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. He knows what your days hold. So He knows what is in your day. Right? Oftentimes, you don't know the day I had, people will say. You don't know the day I've been through. What a day it was. Let me tell you. And they proceed to tell you for 30 minutes of how their day was. But God knows our days. He knows what the days hold for us. And He knows what they already held, and He knows what they will hold. Look at Psalm 139. Just turn ahead. Psalm 139. Great psalm of the Bible. We could spend weeks on this psalm, Psalm 139. Another great psalm of the Bible. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Lord, You know me through and through, David is saying. You have searched me, and You've known me. Verse 2 of Psalm 139. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You know when I'm sitting down and relaxing. You know when I'm up, out and about. You know what I'm doing or what I'm not doing. and you know my thoughts afar off. Verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down. In other words, you surround me wherever I am, wherever I go, wherever I rest, you're there. And then the rest of verse 3, and are acquainted with all my ways. You know everything I do. You know my habits. You know how I spend my days. The Lord knows. He knows everything we do. He knows everything we think. Even verse 4, it says, there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Every word we speak, the Lord knows. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before, laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge, David says, is too wonderful for me. He says, this is beyond my comprehension, Lord, that you care, number one, that you care about me. Number two, that you know everything I do. He says, it is high, I cannot attain unto it. This is just something that's amazing to me. He says in verse 7, where can I go to flee from your presence? Nowhere. He says in verse 7, or verse 8, if I go up to heaven, you're there. Verse 8 also says, even if I'm in hell, you're there. Verse 9, if I were to fly away, you know, to try to get away from it all, you're there too, Lord. Some people try to run away from God. God's still there. Isn't that amazing? To try to run away from God. Imagine such a concept. To try to run away from the Creator. Jonah tried it. Didn't work. Okay? Elijah tried it, didn't work. God found him where he was under that juniper tree. God found Jonah, sent him into the belly of the whale. God, you cannot run from God. That is a futile attempt. You're wasting your energy and time.
Adam and Eve were the first two that tried.
Thank you. Good one. Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. Foolish. God knew right where they were. Even though God asked, where are you, Adam? He knew where they were. He just wanted them to say it. John?
Follow the truth.
Yeah, that's exactly right. God knew us before we were born. Jeremiah said it in Jeremiah chapter 1. Lord, you knew me before I was even formed in my mother's womb. And that's true of all of us. God knew everything about us before we were even born. It's amazing. So He knows all about us. Look at Psalm 144. Just turn ahead a few pages. Psalm 144 and verse 3. And you might ask yourself, like David asks in verse 3 of Psalm 144, why? Why would God, how could God, you know, He's the Creator. I mean, He's the King of the universe. You mean He actually cares about everything I do? Like even from the little things I do? Well, He does. Look at Psalm 144, verse 3. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like unto vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. I mean, we're like nothing, Lord. But the Bible says He does care about us. Sometimes people have this idea, oh, well, God's too busy. Or, oh, you know, God is, you know, He's more concerned about bigger events. He doesn't really care about the little things I do or the little things I go through. No, He does care about every little detail.
Yeah. He said, I even know when a sparrow falls out of
it. Isn't that something?
You know how many sparrows there are?
Right. And He knows the number of hairs on our head. And when one falls out, He knows. It's incredible. He is an omnipotent God, and He knows every little detail about every little thing. And He cares, too. It's not that He knows, but He cares. He cares. Just like Brother Tony said. If God cares about the sparrows that fall from the tree, how much more, Jesus said, will my Father care about you?
Amen.
Right? Because we're made in the image of God. The animal kingdom is not made in the image of God. And if God cares about the animals, how much more does He care about those of us?
Amen.
All right? That He made in His image. Yes. Yeah, there's a song in our hymnal about that. That's right. Does Jesus care when we're going through a hard time? The answer is yes. So, letter A, He knows all about our days. Letter B, He knows the number of our days.
Amen.
Back to Psalm 37. You don't have to turn there because we're going to be looking at other Psalms. But again, that phrase, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright. He knows what our days hold. And then letter B, He knows the number of our days.
Amen.
He knows how many days we have. And only God knows that. Not a one of us knows how many days we have left. Look at Psalm 90, verse 12. This is a psalm that Moses wrote. Psalm 90. It's a prayer of Moses, Psalm 90 says. If your Bible has the little titles underneath the psalms. So even Moses wrote a psalm. So Psalm 90, verse number 12. Well, let's actually go back. If we were to go back to... we'll just read the whole psalm. It's too good. It says, Lord, verse 1, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. Look at verse 4. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Verse 5, Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. Verse 6, it's talking about our life. Verse 6, in the morning it flourisheth and groweth. In the evening it's cut down and withereth. In God's eyes, our life is like one day to God. In light of eternity, our lifetime is like a day. That's an amazing concept. Verse 7, For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Verse 8, Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Verse 9, For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for soon cut off and we fly away. 70 years, the Bible here says, is a full life. 80 and beyond is like bonus time. It's like overtime. That's what God's Word says. God's Word says 70 is, you know, God is basically saying here the average lifespan, 70. 80 and above, God says that's, you know, if by reason of strength and God blesses you, then that's a wonderful blessing. Now, verse 12. Verse 12. So, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In other words, knowing that our days are few, we need to use them wisely, because you will never get them back. One life, one opportunity to serve God. Once a day is gone, you can never get it back. Time is a non-renewable resource. When it passes, it's gone. All right? A lot of other things we can get back. Certain things, but not time. And that's why Moses, rather, in verse 12, teach us to number our days. Lord, help us to realize, you know, people live as though they'll never die. The way people live, they live as though they're never going to die. They live as though they're somehow exempt from death. They live as though their day will never come, and that's foolish. That's the Satan, that's Satan's way of deceiving people. Oh, not you, not you. You'll go on and on. No, we're all going to... It's coming. So that's why Moses says we need wisdom. Apply our hearts unto wisdom. Use your days wisely. And that's what we need to do. God knows the number of our days. We don't. Therefore, we need to use each day we have wisely. Serving the Lord, right? Staying close to Him. Walking with Him. Doing the things that He would have us to do.
Amen.
Also, letter C. Talking about how the Lord knows our days. And then if you look at Psalm 37 and the rest of verse number 18. So he says in Psalm 37:18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright. He knows all about our days, how many days we have, what they hold. And then the end of verse 18, and their inheritance shall be forever. So letter C, no matter the trials our days may hold, we have the glory of heaven to look forward to. Now he takes our eyes off of our present days where, yep, they're limited, oftentimes filled with trials and troubles, but we have an inheritance that's forever to look forward to, you see. So whatever the trials our days may hold, we have the glory of heaven to look forward to. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Second Corinthians 4:17, talking about the troubles we go through and how we all go through troubles. But to keep in perspective, like last week's lesson, keeping an eternal perspective. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, remember, life is short, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Keeping our eyes on the eternal things. So no matter the trials we have the glory of heaven. Letter D, our inheritance in heaven is eternal. In contrast to our temporary life, letter D, our heavenly inheritance is eternal, never ending. That's blessed hope.
Amen.
That the Bible speaks about. We'll look at some verses in Ephesians. We're studying Ephesians on Wednesday nights. Great book of the Bible, Wednesday nights, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, talking about spiritual blessings, as that's what the lesson's about, blessings to appreciate. Spiritual blessings, appreciate the fact that, yep, days can be tough and short, but we have eternal blessings. Ephesians 1, verse 11. The Bible says, in whom, speaking about Christ, in Christ also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And then look down verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance, meaning the Holy Spirit is the down payment until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. And then verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Paul is praying for those believers to know what they have waiting for them in heaven, to realize. Don't be all caught up in the here and now. Realize what's up in heaven is what matters.
Amen.
And then Colossians chapter 1. Similar ideas. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks. That's what we started with this morning. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God has made us able, through the Lord Jesus, He's made us able to be partakers of that inheritance.
Amen.
Right? In order to receive an inheritance, is it not true? Usually, it's for family members. Yeah, well, in order to have that heavenly inheritance, you have to be in God's family. You see? And we've been placed into the family. And then how about Colossians 3:24? Take a look at that verse. All these verses about the inheritance. Colossians 3:24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You'll be blessed. And then lastly, 1 Peter 1:4, talking about inheritance. 1 Peter 1:4. The Bible says a lot about our inheritance. 1 Peter 1:4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, and then I love these last words, reserved in heaven for you.
Amen.
It's got your name on it. Nobody else can take it. So, we have an eternal inheritance. Letter E. We will inherit a beautiful home in heaven. A beautiful home. Heaven is going to be a perfectly beautiful home. And it's free for you. And you know, so that again gives hope. As Jesus said, and when He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, right? If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's preparing it. We're talking about promises here. And that's a promise He made to us. And He can't break that promise. So He's doing it. And what is that home like? Now listen to these verses. Revelation 21:1-3. And I saw the new heaven and the new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And it goes on and talks about it. That is where we'll dwell. So we have a beautiful home. And then letter F. No matter what happens on earth, nobody can take that from you. Nobody can take that from you.
Amen.
You may lose everything on earth. You may lose a lot of things that you have and hold dear, but you will never lose that. Nobody can take that from you. That's a blessing. Nobody can take that from you. So Psalm 37:18. How about Psalm 37:19? They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Letter G. Those who claim God's name will never be ashamed of a God who forgot to take care of them. That's what that verse is saying, letter G. Those who claim God's name will never be ashamed of a God who forgot to take care of them. Because it says, in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. The whole world may be going through difficult times, but God will take care of His children. He'll provide for you. It doesn't mean things may not get difficult. It doesn't mean that, you know, funds don't get low. It doesn't mean that sometimes God stretches our faith and causes us to depend upon Him, and we don't know where the next paycheck's coming from. And those times happen, but He's going to take care of you. He will not let you go hungry. He will not let you go. He will not leave you uncared for. And that's what letter H says. Even when the world may be facing famine, God will provide for His children. The promise of provision here. God will provide for His children. Take a look at 1 Kings 17 verse 4. You've heard this story before. I know you have. Pastor has preached on this story. And 1 Kings 17, talking about Elijah. And how Elijah, in verse 1, went to Ahab and said, There's going to be no rain or dew because of your sins. And in verse 2, or verse 3, God says, All right, Elijah, go to the brook. So, what's happening here is God told Elijah, and Elijah went and told Ahab, there's going to be no rain. And it ended up being for 3.5 years. No rain means no food. And the whole nation of Israel was in a famine. But God took care of Elijah. And He said, All right, Elijah, first I want you to go to the brook in verse number 4. And you'll drink of the brook, and I'm going to send ravens to feed you. That's different. Because usually ravens are scavengers and they fend for themselves. They don't really care about taking care of others, never mind humans. You ever have a bird bring you food? No. Usually they take your food, right? Okay, so this is a miracle. And God said, the ravens are going to bring you food, Elijah, and you have the brook there. So in verse 5, he went and he dwelt by the brook. In verse 6, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. He had these 2 meals a day and he drank of the brook. But then in verse 7, oh no, the brook dries up. Now what? Now there's no more water. There's no more brook. Did God forget about Elijah? Is Elijah going to die of thirst now? Well, no. Verse 8, God said, all right, the brook dried up. Hard times are going to come. Yep, Elijah wasn't free of problems. But he said in verse 9, all right, I have somewhere else for you to go now. Go to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. I have a widow woman that will help you. And that's, again, another miracle, because widows did not have any money in those days. How? And I'm sure Elijah's thinking, how in the world? But he goes there, and here's a widow in verse 10. She said, he meets her, and what is she doing? She's gathering some sticks. And she basically says, in verse 12, I have nothing left but a little bit of meal and a little oil. And we are gathering these 2 sticks, and we are going to eat our last meal, and we're going to die, she says in verse 12. We're done. Famine. Out of everything. Out of food, out of money, she says in verse 12. We have nothing left. But in verse 13, Elijah says, no, God sent me here. There's a plan. He says, I want you to go ahead and make me a cake, make it up, and I want you to pour out the oil. And she did, and the oil just kept flowing and flowing and flowing. That little bit of oil never stopped flowing, you see, because God did a miracle. So the point is, letter H, even the world may be facing famine, God's going to take care of His children. He'll take care of you. How about Luke chapter 12? All the way ahead into the New Testament. Luke chapter 12. The Bible has a lot to say about provision. Luke chapter 12 and verse 24. We've mentioned, here's the ravens again. We just read about them in Luke 12, 24. Jesus said, consider the ravens. Think about those birds. They neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. You don't see birds building barns and storing up food for the winter and storing up food and whatnot so that they know they have enough. No, they live day by day. And it says, and God feedeth them. God sees to it that they find those worms or those seeds, even though maybe you're grass seeds, but they're going to find their food. They don't worry about it. They don't say, oh no, we have to store up, and oh no, we have to do this. And God takes care of them day by day. And the end of the verse says, how much more are ye better than the fowls, than birds? God takes care of them. Why would you doubt that He's going to take care of you? How about Philippians chapter 4? So while the world may be worried and this and that, you don't have to be. Philippians 4:12. See, you have the Lord. They don't. They do have to worry. And they should worry. You have the Lord, though. You don't have to worry. Oh, the economy this, the economy that. Oh, no, this and that. Oh, no, the market. Oh, no, oh, no. Not for Christians. Christians don't have to worry about that. Right, not that you never get concerned, you know. Hey, if I had a bunch of stocks right now, I'd be concerned too. Okay, but this is why, number one, we shouldn't invest all of our monies in that type of thing as a Christian, right? Philippians 4, verse 12. I know, Paul says, both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Hey, Paul said, yeah, there were times where I had everything I needed, and everything was great. But he said there were also times when I was a little bit hungry, and I had a little bit less, and I was struggling financially. Ups and downs of life. But, he said, I've learned. And in verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ. That's what that verse is in the context of. We often pick that verse out of the chapter, and we forget about the rest of the verses. That I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, is in the context of finances. He said there were times where I had a lot, and those were great times. But there were times where I had little. But he said those can be good times too, as long as you keep your eyes on the Lord. Okay? Our happiness shouldn't depend upon finances. And then one more verse about this. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Back a few pages from Philippians. 2 Corinthians 9:8. This is about money. This is about offerings. He says in verse 6. We'll go back to verse 6. He's talking about offerings. But this I say in 2 Corinthians 9:6, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Maybe sometimes believers go through hard times financially. We don't know the answer. Only the Lord knows. It's between them and the Lord. But, you know, if somebody is not giving God what is His, then God's not going to bless that individual. Amen. We know the Bible teaches about tithing, and a lot of people don't like to hear about that. But that's what the Bible says. The Bible talks about tithing.
Amen.
If we're going to keep that from God, we ought not to expect Him to bless us. That's His. Amen. Think about it, folks. He's letting you keep 90%. He's asking for 10%. And that's on our income, the Bible says. Whatever our income is, right? that 10% of it goes to the Lord. Now, if you have no income, guess what? then you give of whatever you can, but that's different. We're talking about income. The Bible says that. The Bible says, give, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 9 through 12 talks about it. Proverbs chapter 3. Give of the Lord the first fruits of all thine increase.
Amen.
And the Bible in the Old Testament, like Brother Tony mentioned, Malachi. Read the book of Malachi. Read the book. See what God said to the nation of Israel. God said to Israel, I'm not blessing you because you have forgotten to give to me.
Amen.
And maybe sometimes, you know, people worry about finances and whatnot. Give to the Lord first and He'll take care of the rest. But if you're going to, you know, I can't do this, then you might face hard times. You're good. That's good. That's a good point. Verse 19, Philippians 4 says, hey, God will supply your needs. Sometimes we get concerned with our wants. God will supply your needs. So the point is, verse 6, you want to be blessed? Give to the Lord. Look at verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. In other words, God will provide your needs. All right? And then lastly, letter I, as we talk about the promise of provision, letter I, Christians should not fall prey to the hysteria caused by the news media.
Amen.
Don't fall prey to the hysteria that they like to cause when any little thing happens. Their goal is to put the world in a frenzy. Christians don't have to be a part of that. So the promise of provision. God will meet your needs. Number two, the promise of protection. Back in Psalm 37, verse 20. The promise of protection. He'll protect you. He'll keep you safe. Psalm 37, 20. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. Letter A, on the contrary, God is going to judge the wicked. He will judge them. God will deal with them. Judge. And then letter B. The wicked are those who do not know the Lord. We're talking about unsaved people. These are people that do not know the Lord. They are, as the Bible says, estranged from the Lord. They're at enmity with God. They do not know the Lord. And then letter C. If they do not repent, they will face certain judgment.
Amen.
Until they die, they have the opportunity. That opportunity never goes away until they pass away. They have until they, if they do not repent though, if they choose not to repent and to turn to the Lord, then they will. And then letter D, just as we finish up verse 20. Letter D, believers have been saved from the wrath of God. Letter D, believers have been saved from the wrath of God. You and I as believers will not face God's wrath. And that is a comfort. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says we've been delivered from the wrath to come. This world is heading towards certain judgment.
Amen.
This culture, this society, this whole world rejecting God. They're facing certain wrath. They are under the wrath of God, the Bible says.
Amen.
But you and I, the Bible says, do not have to go through that. God's going to take us out. Just like God took Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah before He destroyed it. Just like God put Noah and his family in the ark before He sent the flood. And so many other stories in the Bible like that, where God judged the world or judged the city, He's going to take His children out. You and I won't be here.
Amen.
He's going to take care of us. Now, verse 21 of Psalm 37. The wicked borroweth. Now, this is interesting because we were just talking about money. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. That's interesting. The wicked. And God talks about their finances. He says, yeah, they borrow, but they have no intention of paying it back. How many people do you know that have their credit cards maxed out? And they're so deep in debt, it's unimaginable.
Yes.
That should never be true of a Christian. Letter E, the lost are driven by greed, and they often find themselves in debt. The lost are driven by greed. They borrow, but they have no intention of paying it back, it says in verse 21. They just keep on borrowing, keep on spending. How should we be, letter F? On the contrary, we are to be givers. We should be more concerned with giving and helping and serving others rather than gimme, gimme. You know? And borrow, give me this, give me that, I want this, I want that. No, we should be more concerned. It says in verse number 21, yeah, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. As Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You want the blessings of God? It's more blessed to give. And you can never outgive God.
Amen.
You may be struggling. It may be hard. You might think, oh man, this is really tough. How can I give this? But when you do and you do it, and you say, I'm going to do it anyway, watch how God will bless you.
Gosh,
He will.
Amen.
And letter G, Christians need to be wise in the matter of finances. We need to be wise in the matter of finances. You know, how we handle money is a real test of our character. How we handle our money. That's a real test. Jesus spoke a lot about money. A lot. Read the Gospels. See how often Jesus spoke about money. Because it's something we all have to deal with. It's something that we can't get away from. We have to have it, but we have to be wise with it. How do we use it? And then lastly, verse 22. Last verse for today. Psalm 37:22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Letter H. Though judgment will come to the wicked, believers will be kept safe through it all and will inherit the earth in the end. We spoke about that last week, about the millennial kingdom and the kingdom of Christ on earth. So we will inherit the earth in the end, letter H. So that is talking about protection. Though wrath is coming to the world, God will keep you and I safe. God will deliver us from the wrath to come. So God has promised to provide for us. And God has promised to protect us.
Amen.
And in conclusion, God will bless His children and will also deal with the wicked. We just need to be thankful for His blessings every day. And we have a lot to be thankful for. And we ought to thank the Lord for those blessings of provision and protection. And next week, I'm looking forward to next week, because next week, if you look at the next verse, Psalm 37, verse 23 is one of my favorite verses, where it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. It's going to be a great verse for next week. So
amen.
Let's close in prayer, and we'll ask Brother Tony to close us in prayer, please.